this thing retaped. Keep going.
Good morning. Welcome to worship here in St. John's. My name is Keppel Barth, and this is my home congregation, although there are rumors that I've left the church because I've been doing so many stints all over the Eastern Ontario. If there are any visitors in the audience, in the crowd, in the congregation, please make yourselves known to us after so that we can welcome you warmly. For those who are online, sit down, relax, have a cup of coffee, and enjoy this service. I would like to thank the minister of St. John's and the session for having the confidence in me to lead you in service this morning. Today is the second Sunday after Easter, and what a roller coaster it has been. We first welcome him, we put palm branches on his path, then we turned him in and crucified him. But that was not the end. The grip of death could not hold him, and he rose from the dead and came back to be with us. I took the opportunity today to invite some of the people that are following me on my journey to become a lay minister. So I'd like to welcome them. For my Chinese friends, Zhao Chang Hao, Huan Ying Lang Do Xing, for you. For my kids in Japan who look at this 1 week later, Konnichiwa, ahayo gozaimasu, konosabishu iyonkosho. For my friends in Italy, buongiorno e benvenuto a questo servizio. For my Polish friends, dzień dobry, witamino nasiumiskwi, tutash St. John's. For my German friends, guten Morgen, willkommen zum Gottesdienst a St. John's. For my Dutch friends, good morgen, welcome, there's the Enspeed, St. John's. And of course, my friends in Spain, buenos dias y bienvenidos, bienvenidos a este servicio a la Iglesia San Juan. And of course, for my French-speaking friends, bonjour et bienvenue à ce service à la Iglesia Saint Jean. And of course, to all of you, welcome. Reverend Adams is on medical leave, but if you look behind me, it's not a figment of your imagination. He is here with us. So welcome all. A few announcements. There will be a choir practice after service this morning. And have your coffee, go downstairs so that we can practice a few anthems. The session meeting will be held on April the 9th at 5:30. And yes, there will be food. So come and prepare to discuss the business of the church and enjoy a meal together. We also have this afternoon at 1:30, pickleball in the gym. So for the young at heart, join us in the gym for some pickleball. On April the 20th in Kempville, there will be a training session given by Dr. Sarah Travis on the steps that could assist you in becoming a lay minister I will be attending. And last of all, on April the 23rd, we will be taking part in Paint Night. If you need more information, see Barbara Mason. Let us please stand as we come to the call to worship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us as we come, wherever we are, to worship you at this time. As we come together in worship, let us remember that this place stands on the traditional territory of the First Nations people, the Mohawk of Haudenosaunee, or the Iroquois Confederacy. May we respect this land and live in peace with those who have been here, those who are here now, and those who will come in the future. We thank the native people for sharing this land with us. Please turn to your inserts and follow along, or read on the screens the call to worship. We gather with joy, for Easter continues. Locked doors have been opened, and fear has been turned to peace.
We celebrate the presence of the risen Christ among us.
Doubts can be erased and uncertainty turned to faith.
Let us rejoice and be glad at this time.
Let us offer our prayers and praise with humble and hopeful hearts.
And allow our mouths to show forth thy praise.
Let us serve the Lord with gladness.
By coming before his presence with singing.
Let us magnify the name of the Lord.
Let us exalt his name together. Praise the Lord.
We light the Christ candle. Ooh, where is it gone? Oh, here. Yeah. We light the Christ candle to signify that he is with us. Please be seated. Let us bow our heads as we come to the prayer of approach. Heavenly Father, every day we sing of your glory, and every night we sleep knowing that you watch over us, keeping your promise to us. Most powerful and imaginative God, you have called us together in this place so that we can be joined with you. In the next hour, we will open our hearts and minds and lives before you without fear of judgment. We listen attentively to receive your life-giving word. So let your spirit infuse us with your wisdom and provide guidance to us so that we can become more like you. You promised a comforter who will be with us every step of the way to guide us, to supply what we need. So today, we present ourselves to you here in this sanctuary. We seek your wisdom in helping us to speak the right words, to make the right choices, and choose the right opportunities so that we can do your will today. We are your hands, so use us, dear Lord. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning, I have chosen number 634, Will You Come and Follow Me? It really excites me when a hymn that we are about to sing was written in my lifetime. John Bell was born in the Scottish town of Kilmarnock in 1949. He intended to be a music teacher, but then he felt the call to ministry. In frustration with classes, he did volunteer work in a deprived neighborhood in London for a time, and also served for 2 years as an associate pastor at the English Reformed Church in Amsterdam. After graduating, he worked as a youth pastor for the Church of Scotland. He then took a similar position with the Iona community with his colleague Graham Maul. His approach soon turned to composing songs with a tradition of hymnody that began to address the concerns and plight of poor people, the unemployed, and people who were generally disenfranchised. This hymn that we are about to sing reflects what we can do to help each other, our brothers, our sisters, who are suffering in the world today. Let us sing, Will You Come and Follow Me, number 634. Please be seated. Let us bow our heads as we come to the prayer of confession, of adoration, and also the Lord's Prayer. God of new life, we come to you rejoicing in the mystery of the risen Christ, who is present among us today. We marvel at your constant love, your victory over death, and your resurrecting hope, which embraces us in every circumstance. Trusting in these gifts, we seek to live as Easter people today. Sometimes we may be overwhelmed by the stresses and demands of work and family restrictions, or other restrictions placed on us by sickness. We all face times when our resolve is slowly being worn away. We confess our trust in you can become weak, and we may become anxious. We confess that we fear those who differ from us, despite promising to show love to all. We confess that we cling to our personal agendas, neglecting your call to serve others. We confess that we choose selfishness over sacrificial service. Please forgive us, dear Lord. Extend your arms to us. Reach into our lives and help us to maintain a positive perspective. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, rekindle our passion so that we can bear witness to your love in all that we do. Fill us with the gift of your Holy Spirit in this time of worship and grant us peace through Christ our risen Lord. In gratitude for this gift, let us join our hearts and voices together in the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus said, Come, those who are heavily laden, and I will set you free. Let us listen to the words of the risen Christ, the words that we will hear later on. Peace be with you. Reserve this peace and reserve this forgiveness of Christ to be shared with others, and share that peace with each and every one that you meet today. We all have the assurance of our Heavenly Father that although we are unworthy, we are valued. Although we have hurt people, we are forgiven. And although we have violated our own integrity, we are accepted. So confess with openness and confidence, knowing that God forgives us all. God has reconciled us through Jesus Christ and entrusts to us the message of reconciliation. So even though we ourselves are sinful, let us be forgiving to each other as God has forgiven us. Believe in the gospel. Believe in Jesus Christ, the one who died for us and all of our iniquities. Thanks be to God. The hymn of approach that I've chosen for the scriptures this morning is number 258. To thine be the glory. Edmond Louis Boudry was a Swiss hymn writer who was born in Vevey, Switzerland on August 30th, 1854. Not much is known about his early education. He studied theology in Lausanne and was called to become a pastor at Colli and St. Croix between 1881 and 1889. He then became the pastor of the Free Church in Vevey for a further 35 years until his retirement in 1925. Beside writing original hymns, he translated hymns from German, English, and Latin into French. Some of his work appeared in Chants Evangéliques, printed in Switzerland, in Lausanne, Switzerland, in 1885. He also wrote lyrics to the song that we sing, To Thine Be the Glory. He wrote it in French, but it was translated into English by R. Birch Hoyle. The tune was penned by George Frederick Handel. Edmund died in Vevey on November the 12th, 1932, and is buried in Cully, Switzerland. Let us sing "To God Be the Glory." Look around and I see no kid. Oh, yes, I see one. Will you come and join me in the front? Come on, you're big enough. You're big enough. I got a story for you about things you can't see and things you have to believe in. And one of those things is air. All right, can you see air? You are getting so tall. Is she taller than you, Nara? Way to go, way to go. Welcome, welcome. Can you see air? You can't see it. Well, Kendall will disagree with you. Now, Kendall takes after his mother. He's very argumentative, and once he puts his foot down, he's not moving it. And he was in grade 3 at Central Public, right here down the road, and his teacher, Andy Pettipiece, was talking about air being colorless and odorless. Now, remember, Kendall was growing up in Cornwall. And at that time, Nick, correct me if I'm wrong, Domta was chomping away. So to Kendall, air was not odorless, and you can actually see it. Can you see air? I can't. But you have to believe that it's there. And I spent my whole career understanding air, the movement of air, the density of air, the properties of air, to design these little things. You know what this is? An airplane, right? And if you go like this, it flies. See? Pretty good, eh? Now, I don't like to do that. That's lazy, because then I have to walk and pick it up. Oh, good Lord. So what we do as engineers, we can bend this and make it come back to us, right? So if I throw it to you, is it going to go to you? Remember just when I threw it that way, it went straight over there? What is it going to do now? See? It curves. Because all I did was adjust the aerodynamics on the tail. This is the tail, to make the plane curve. So how did Jesus get into the room where the disciples were? How did he get into the room? The room was closed. The disciples had gathered there and they were hiding because they were under distress. How did he get into the room? no one knows. The Holy Spirit moves in ways that we do not understand. But we try to understand it. And I'm presently in school trying to understand it. I'm not doing a very good job of it. But I will keep trying. And with your praise, I will continue to try. So, let's go off. I don't know if you're going to go downstairs to Sunday school or not. Yes, Trish is calling you. I think she wants to take you away. All right, so have a good time in Sunday school. You remain seated as we sing the third verse of "To God Be the Glory." As we come to the scripture readings, I must advise you that the Spirit of the Lord is here with us today. We cannot exist without that Spirit. We must live according to the will of the Spirit who comes to us through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with us here in this sanctuary today. So I'd like to invite Michelle to read the scriptures this morning.
First reading is from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. Now, the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Second reading is a responsive reading from Psalm 133, verses 1 to 3. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. The epistle lesson is from 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 2. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
John 20, 19 to 31. I could take my old Bible, which I got from St. Andrew's in
St. Lambert. I'm reading from John chapter 20, verses 19 to
31.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the marks of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Sorry about that mix-up, but Vina is obviously well-trained because... Am I on? Oh, this thing fell off again. Vina is obviously well-trained because Reverend Adams usually reads the last reading before we start on the sermon. So I apologize to you for that. My sermon today is entitled, He Breathed on Us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable to all who have gathered here today to listen to this message and those who are online. Before I start, I'd like to thank the people who have made this service possible. The people who have cleaned the church, the people who greeted you, the people who have welcomed you, my technical team in the back, the technicians, the choir, the organists, everyone who has helped to put this together, and of course you for coming here. I'd also like to mention the Sunday school teachers and the nursery teachers who are downstairs, and they actually have a live feed into their area. There are so many people that put this together. I am just a small part of it. I'd also like to thank God for giving me the strength of mind and the strength of voice to deliver this, his message to you. My lesson today is based on John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. When we turn on the news, we are immediately bombarded by negativity. No matter which channel you turn on, everything involves death. Death is really scary. It's a dark valley that we wander through. Death brings on grief, depression, and a sense of hopelessness. Or have we got this all wrong? Maybe death is only terrifying to those of us who are still alive here on this earth. But it may be a very joyous occasion for those who are uplifted from this place and now hold the keys to one of those mansions that God is preparing for us in heaven. So do not think about death as a very sad thing. As I go from ministry churches to churches, I do not know what was preached the last week. So what I do is before I start this week's sermon, I just like to recap what was happening last week. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early on Sunday morning. She was confused as the stone that was placed at the entrance of the tomb was rolled away. She was scared, so she ran back to tell Simon Peter and John. They too were bewildered. They probably thought that Mary was hallucinating in the last few days, because they were very stressful days. So they raced to the tomb to check if what Mary Magdalene had said was indeed true. John arrived first, and he was the first to peep into the tomb. And he saw the strips of linen and the headcloth lying on the floor, but there was no body. Peter, being more cavalier, entered the tomb and confirmed the lack of a body. Now, was this the right tomb? Did they enter the wrong one? You have to read John chapter 20, verse 9, very slowly and carefully to understand that he must rise from the dead. They may not have understood that. And sadly, today, there are a lot of people who may not understand that. Now, on to this reading, this week's reading. On the first day of the week, the disciples had gathered in a closed and shuttered room. They were scared. They thought that they were being persecuted. Jesus was crucified, and they were under threat by the Jewish leaders. Now just imagine the swirl of emotions that those disciples were feeling that day. But then Jesus came and stood amongst them. Initially, they were baffled because the room was closed and shuttered. So how did he get in? Jesus detected this feeling of uneasiness, and to ease their minds, he showed them his hands and his sides. Then the disciples rejoiced to see him. He was alive. They were also sad and confused because they did not understand what his resurrection meant. I also suspect that they felt guilt over their desertion of him in his last hours. And in response to all of that, joy, sadness, confusion, fear, guilt, all Jesus said was, "Peace be with you." That's all he said. "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive this, the Holy Spirit." When Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit onto them, he had embraced them all to become his followers. They were engaged as his followers, and now they were his hands. They would do his work here on earth. So why does the return of Jesus Christ bear so much relevance to us, his followers? We are afraid of the unknown. We don't know what happens at death. So how can we comprehend this? Let us look at 3 points. First point, Jesus' resurrection broke the bonds of death. When he stated, "It is finished," his life ended, and it must have been devastating to his disciples and those who were gathered around the cross. Yet 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead and entered the very room where the disciples had gathered, even though they had closed the doors and shuttered themselves in. Those closed doors did not stop Jesus' spirit. He wanted to meet them and tell them what it was like living without him after his death in this world. But now he was resurrected. That's what Christ has done for us. When he returned out of the depths of death, he announced to us who are alive here on this earth, he announced to us, "It's okay. You can enter death. You can enter the unknown. I have been there and I conquered it. I have overcome it. I have broken the stronghold for all of those who believe in me. So believe in me." Point number 2, he gave us victory over death. When you are traveling in an airplane and you encounter some turbulence, the pilot tells you, in case of an emergency, the adults must first put on their oxygen masks before they proceed to help the children or other people traveling with them. You must save yourself before you save others. Yet the resurrection proves that Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, is there to assist his children, even at the cost of his own life. If Jesus was not bodily resurrected, he would not have been the Son of God. But because Jesus rose from the dead, we have victory over death, our final enemy. Jesus' victory over the grave empowers us, his believers, to face the uncertainties of life with confidence. He has given himself to us in order that we can overcome anything. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Those who believe that God raised Jesus from the dead all know how the game ends. We are the winners. The resurrection of Jesus Christ takes the sting out of death. Third point, Jesus' resurrection. His dying and resurrection gives us new life in the face of death. When people such as Mary, Peter, and John, and the other disciples gave in quickly to celebrate being reunited with Jesus, There was a missing disciple in Thomas. He wanted proof positive that this was the Jesus. What Jesus did in that first meeting after he was resurrected was to show those frightened disciples the same grace, forgiveness, and love that he had always demonstrated. He came and stood among them and simply said, "Peace be with you." Not only was Jesus alive and among them, he had also forgiven them for all that they had done, or rather, not done, over those last few dramatic hours. We often look at today's gospel and focus on Thomas, the doubting disciple who needed to put his finger in the open wounds because he would not believe. But this story isn't about Thomas. This story really is about us. We are those fearful disciples trembling behind locked doors and wondering what all the madness around the world means. The story is about each and every one of us trying to live a worthy life of our Lord and Savior. We may be struggling with doubt, or weighed down with fear, or constantly falling short of what we know and what he expects from us. About this story, Jesus comes to us in the midst of our doubts and fears and sin and guilt to offer each and every one of us these simple words: "Peace be with you." Even though we try hard to deliver, we may still come up short and underdeliver. But despite all of these shortcomings, these four words reign supreme: "Peace be with you." These words release us all from the stresses of failure. Think back to a time in life when you felt as though you were truly disappointed by something, something that happened, and you may have blamed Jesus. And now imagine Jesus showing up at that exact moment, saying, "Peace be with you." How would you respond? Well, before you lay blame, we should stop and try to understand. Pray and ask for guidance. Seek out those who have strength in the areas in which you are failing and ask them for guidance. Jesus took our sins, took our hurts, our iniquities with him in death. He took it all with him. The bonds of death were broken. We have victory. We were given a new lease on life. Our sins are forgiven. Our hope is permanent. And our eternity is secured. We have a new start. That is what Jesus, by dying and overcoming death, did for each and every one of us. And to me, that is the Easter miracle. Through this miracle, we've all been given a new gift, a new life. So let us use this gift to assist others. Each and every one of us has skills. We have strengths that we can use to assist people. So what is stopping us as a community today? A community where we can help each other, achieving harmony within the Catholic body of Jesus Christ. It is not what we were promised in heaven. Yes, we were promised exactly that in heaven. But why do we have to wait until heaven before we can start living a heavenly life here on earth? We don't have to wait. Imagine in Gaza, imagine Jews and Palestinians having a meal together and stating, "Peace be with you." What can that achieve? Or imagine the people in the Donbas area, Ukrainians and Russians, breaking bread together and saying to each other, "Peace be with you." Last Friday, I was feeling a bit ill. In fact, my voice is still a bit raspy. On Saturday, I was in bed struggling with a fever. I stayed in bed all day, which is very uncharacteristic of me. In the afternoon, one of my parishioners, Bev Hope, brought over an apple pie that she had baked for me. She did not know that I was sick. I couldn't get out of bed, so Jamila picked it up. So here was Bev with a freshly baked apple pie delivered to my house. Jamila accepted it and put it in the oven. That warm oven allowed those smells of cinnamon and apple to emanate throughout the house, and I could smell it from my bedroom upstairs. So when I was called on for dinner, I was so happy to see the pie there, albeit missing one quarter. Well, you heard of people missing in action? Well, this was missing in mouth, in Jamila's mouth. That apple pie really soothed my throat and made me feel so much better. It is amazing what apple pies made with love can do for someone else. When you are having a disagreement with another person, maybe the standard modus operandi should be get a freshly baked apple pie and sit with that person and discuss what the issue is. I am very impressed with the woman of this church, and I will tell you that every time I see you because you take such good care of me. I was lost in my world. I wasn't sure of what I could do. I was taking medication. God sent someone to help me. God is always there for you. He is there for you in prayer. He can be with you. All you have to do is to close your eyes and ask him. And as you speak with him, remember when you say amen, you must continue waiting for his response. Always allow your heart to remain open to receive his words, his response to your prayer. At night, when you retire, leave a little place for him in your heart so that he can continue to guide you in your sleep, so that when you awake, you will have a clear plan ready for you to implement. And while you wait or sleep, or while you are implementing that new plan, continue to give to him all glory and honor for all that he has done for you and continue to do for you in the future. Amen. In this season of Easter, we celebrate God's precious gift to us in Christ's dying and rising. So now we present our gifts to God. May our generosity reflect God's greatness, God's goodness, and the hope that we have found in Jesus Christ, who lives with us today. The offerings will now be received. And I'd like to invite anyone who is willing to come up and sing number 399 with us. We will give you an anthem today, number 399.
Through the wilderness.
God, thank you for the hope we can claim in your resurrecting power. We have received all that we have from your bounty. Bless these gifts that we bring today to your church. We ask that you guide the church leaders so that they can use these gifts to continue doing your work here in this community and in your world. Thanks be to God for all that we have received. Amen. As we come to the prayer of the people, let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, it has been great for us to be together with you here in this place. We thank you for starting with us and ending with us. As we prepare to leave, we acknowledge that your Spirit will guide us through the coming week and get us through all of the challenges that we face. Thank you, loving God, for your renewing presence in our lives, and for the many ways you make yourself known to us, in words spoken in peace, in actions that embody love, in creation that awakens wonders within us, and in worship that inspires faith and understanding. With memories of the grace you have shown us, and with confidence that you will show us more, we pray that all people will come to know the life-giving joy that you can find in Jesus Christ, our resurrected Savior. We pray for those who are feeling fearful, those who are worried or overwhelmed in these days of economic pressure and uncertainty. That includes the thousands of technicians and first-level managers who will be terminated at Bell Canada. Lord Jesus, reveal to them your risen presence. We pray for those who face violence and unrest each day in countries around the world, including Gaza, Ethiopia, Chad, Niger, Syria, Sudan, Ukraine, Afghanistan, and Yemen. Lord, please end the starvation and bloodshed in these countries and make them your communities. Lord Jesus, reveal to these people your risen presence. We pray for our national, provincial, and municipal leaders as they seek solutions to the challenges in our common life regarding interest rates, carbon taxes, and other inflationary presence. Give them wisdom, give them guidance. Lord Jesus, reveal to them your risen presence. We pray for the families of the World Food Kitchen's personnel who were killed by the Israeli Defense Force. Lord Jesus, reveal to them your risen presence. We pray for our congregation and for our churches in the presbytery who have been losing ministers to retirement in the last few months. Reveal to them your plan. Reveal to them your risen presence. We pray for our neighbors, especially those struggling with rising costs and scarce housing. Reveal to them your risen presence. We pray for those who are ill or who suffer in pain, in grief, in silence. We remember to pray for them, Lord. In the next few minutes, please keep them in our hearts and minds. Please give us guidance to bring them comfort, to bring them strength so that they can recover and know that we prayed for them and we are praying to you for them. Lord Jesus, reveal to them your risen presence. So, dear God, hear our prayers and use your love to convince everyone that your way is the only way. We can show the same love that you have for us to the other people that we know so that they too can enjoy the life of Jesus Christ. We pray for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. our closing hymn, Arise, Your Light Has Come, number 712. Ruth Duck was born in Washington, D.C. in 1947. She earned degrees from Southwestern University and Chicago Theological Seminary, University of Notre Dame, and the Boston School of Theology, where she got a PhD. She's an internationally renowned hymn writer with over 150 texts and psalms, paraphrases, which appears in hymnals and supplements in the United States, Canada, worldwide. A scholarship was given in her name to people who have followed in her footsteps at the Boston University School of Theology. Now, Ruth initially began writing by adapting older hymns to include language that was more inclusive. She edited and contributed to the groundbreaking contemporary language hymn collection, Everflowing Streams, Songs of Worship, that was published in 1981. A hymn text writer for over 40 years, in 2013, Ruth was named a Fellow of the Hymn Society in the United States and Canada. She currently lives in Claremont, California. William Walter wrote the music to accompany this hymn that we are going to sing. Let us sing number 712, Arise, Your Light Has Come. As we go out into the world, help us to remember the simple truth that God is always in control of everything and understands all that is happening in our lives. So let us develop and refine what we have learned today to better serve our brothers and sisters. And as we go out from this sanctuary, let us go in faith with the peace of Christ within us to witness his kindness in the world. May God's resurrecting love open the future for you. May you be empowered by the Spirit and embraced by the presence of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, as he walks and talks with us along life's narrow ways. Amen.